Chapter 18. Tethys sees the arena, the hot dust, once more through Angron's eyes. Again the pits, again the roars of the crowd, again the taste of blood coating his tongue so thickly he can taste nothing else. Onomaus stands with Angron in the memory, the gladiators fighting back to back against a horde of mutated beastmen. The twisted creatures break curses and insults from goat-like heads and stamp cloven hooves into the red sands in place of feet. Of the 24 gladiators that had come from the caves to fight, only Angron and his mentor remain. The vision wavers before Tethys's perception. Time stretches, showing the throat of a howling wretch parting before Angron's axe in horrifically slow motion, before leaping forward. The beastmen lie dead, while Angron and Onomaus, though battered and bleeding, stand triumphant.
"Fear not, my people!"
The maggot's eyes appear, buzzing through the battlefield of the hot dust to encircle the gladiators.
"This is not the end of today's contests. Angron the Unbeaten and Onomaus the Bear of Ul-Kaim have survived the perilous and hideous beasts of the southern jungles. They and you, my friends, deserve something remarkable. A special attraction for your viewing and wagering pleasure that you will not soon forget."
The wide doors of the arena are hauled open, and a pair of battered iron cubes are shoved onto the red sands by a team of chained slaves. Angron strains to listen over the din of the crowd, hearing sharp breathing and deep-throated growls issuing from each of the cells.
"More beasts?" asks Angron.
"No," replies Onomaus, his eyes not leaving the cells. "Something much worse."
"Ladies and gentlemen, commoners and high folk,"
the voices of the maggot's eyes spike in volume as the doors to the cells open and the slave gangs flee in terror.
"I present to you Aconis and Turgidon of the Kadere."
The crowd explodes in cheers. The stands appear to undulate before Angron's eyes as men and women leap up and down in anticipation. The arena doors shut, and Angron watches as a pair of immense, hulking figures emerge from the darkness of their cells. Each of the gladiators is an abhuman giant, equal to Angron in size. They are clad in mismatched armor of thick black iron, studded with spikes hung with tanned human skin and dangling chains ending in bleached skulls. One carries a pair of enormous powered axes, one in each fist, while the other is armed with a spiked globe, bound to his left arm by a length of dense, heavy chain. They wear the remissum, a pair of bladed iron horns upon their helmets. It is this mark, more than any other, that conveys to Angron that these warriors have walked the berserker's path for too long, and can no longer see anything but blood. Those who wear the remissum are too violent, too unstable to live amongst the other slaves, for fear of turning the caves into an abattoir. Outside the arena, such warriors are chained into dark cells, with no one in reach to slake their bloodlust. Within the arena, they always find ample blood to spill. They only compete in death matches. Angron can see the steel cabling hanging down the backs of their heads beneath their helms, the metallic dreadlocks of the aggression amplifiers known as the butcher's nails. The implants are said to scour the mind of any emotion save rage, and torture a warrior's every thought save for the desire to kill. Angron counts the skulls hanging from their battered armour.
"The Kadere," he says to Onomaus. "You told me two of them once slew 100 gladiators by themselves, that their bodies were stacked so high the pair nearly clawed themselves out of the hot dust."
"They're terrifying," his mentor nods. "Those who have been forced to take the nails. A warrior who wants to live has no defence against one who doesn't care if he dies."
He leans in.
"And Angron, every warrior wants to live."
The old fighter takes a step towards the Kaderi and clashes the blade of his sword against his shield.
I wish you fortune in the battle to come, and peace in the oblivion beyond.
No words come from the lips of the Kaderi. The horned berserkers twitch and shudder from the implants needling their minds. With a roar that shocks the crowd for a moment into silence, they charge. The memory of the fight with the Kaderi curdles and deforms, yet Tethys feels every sensation experienced by his father that day. It appears in glimpses, like pulling something up from beneath dark water before it slips back down into the depths. He gasps at the pain that racks his body when one of the Kaderi lashes his flail into Angron's side, and dread fills him as he watches Onomaeus struggle to survive the assault. He sees something then that he has never seen before from his father as he knows him. He watches his Primarch fight side by side with a fellow warrior, striking and hacking and blocking the killing blows meant for one another, with all thought of themselves left behind. He isn't fighting alone, like he does with his sons. For the first time, Tethys sees brotherhood in Angron. The fight lasts for 17 minutes. 17 minutes of hot, screaming, bleeding violence. Tethys loses count of the times when the combat is balanced on a knife's edge, where an instant could tilt the odds against Angron and Onomaeus. The Kaderi are unlike any foe Angron has faced, fast and strong and stripped away to a hurt bestial core. But his Primarch is Angron the Unbeaten, and after 17 minutes, when the last Kaderi's head rolls from his shoulders after a blow from his axe, Tethys' genesire remains so. Angron helps Onomaeus to his feet. The veteran snarls from the pain of a wounded leg, but he is able to stand. The crowd cheers their names in a roar of jubilation after witnessing such a spectacle. Rare is the occasion to see one of the Kaderi bested upon the hot dust. To see two of them fall is truly a sight indeed.
And yet,
comes the buzzing of the maggot's eyes once more,
the multitudes of Deshea remain unsatisfied. You two are great warriors and favourites of the crowd. What do you say, my people? Shall we see who is greater in a fight to the death?
The people of Deshea roar their assent. The blood of dozens of men and mutants has not been enough, nor is that of two of the Kaderi. They want more. And they want Angron and Onomaeus to give it to them.
No.
The single word silences the arena, carrying effortlessly from the centre of the pit. Onomaeus turns, looking at the young man he has raised like his own son, standing against the will of the High Riders.
No,
sneer the maggot's eyes, the machines crackling with irritation as they swarm around Angron.
It is not the place of Angron Thalkir to say no. Fight now, and kill him in spectacular fashion, and we shall forget your disobedience this one time.
I will not fight him, says Angron.
He brandishes his axe, and the maggot's eyes scatter from him. He raises his weapon, pointing it up at the gilded balconies that sit atop the arena.
If you want to feed more blood to these people so badly, then come down yourselves and face me. Or do the paper-skinned High Riders lack the courage?
Angron, Onomaeus warns.
No,
Angron snarls.
No more. Our whole lives we have killed for them. They who have taken everything from us. I will not allow them to take you as well.
Onomaeus looks at Angron, his scarred features beaming with pride. He spreads his arms wide, turning to where their masters watch.
Come on, then! Fight us!
He throws his weapons down.
We'll use no weapons if that will put steel in your backs rather than jelly.
Laughter begins to ripple across the crowd. None have ever witnessed such a thing. For slaves in the pits to rebuke and insult the High Riders. The soldiers posted at intervals across the arena grip their weapons tighter, their eyes locked, as are all the others on the rulers of Nuceria, and the maggot's eyes they speak through.
"Insolent curs!"
shriek the machines.
"You dare to think the highborn rulers would dirty themselves by drawing anywhere near the presence of slaves? Ridiculous!"
The maggot's eyes descend, electricity crackling around their metal forms.
"You are dogs, born to bleed for your betters. Your lives have no value and never have. Dogs,"
they repeat.
"And a dog who does not cringe before its master must be altered until he does so."
A hush spreads over the crowd. Angron finds himself looking down at the severed head of the Kadere he killed, and the implants gleaming from where they thread his skull.
"Fair people of the Shea, what are we to do?"
A chant fills the arena, a single word in the lilting tongue of the Nucerians. It is a word that Tethys knows all too well, and it chills him to his core.
"Nails!" the crowd cries. "Nails! Nails! Nails!"